It's good to see all of you, and on the one side is the theme for Shofar, and a theme that we will hear lots about this year is God's building. And it's already last year we had our big conference at Century City, Ratanga Junction, where we came together, and that is the general theme that God is building. He's building in our church, He's building His church, He's building in our lives. So that's on the one side. And the verse that we highlighted, that the Lord gave us, is Psalm 147, verse 2 to 3. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the scattered people of Israel. He heals those who have broken hearts, and He takes care of their wounds. So as God is building, I believe that also each one of us, we will experience God's building in our lives, and also just becoming more like Jesus. So for me, it's very practical. It is, I said to Lee, I really pray for each one of us for this year that we can become more like Jesus, that we will know God better. We had great events, and we will continue to have those. We will continue to come together, and what we say, community, God has placed us together, and we help one another. We're not lone rangers. We serve the Lord together. And with all of that, I pray that we will not only have a lot of fun, but we'll also become more like Jesus. So on the one side, God is building, and He's building our church. He's bringing us together from all over, different people. Last year I referenced weird people, maybe not so weird, but we just come from all over. And it's beautiful to see, because this is what church looks like. God brings us together. Different backgrounds, different people. And this morning, quickly, as we look at 2016, as we look at a new year, the thing that was just, what the God was just highlighting for me is just our busyness. There's so much stuff, there's so many things going on, and somehow we must make sense in the midst of all of that. Somehow it's easy to get so busy that everything just runs away with you. That you're just running on empty. It's not nice to run on empty or to fake stuff or to seem that you're okay, that things are okay, you're coping, but actually not always coping. I know there's a few days, even this holiday, I was just down, and Leo say, "What's going on?" And later I told her, "I think I'm just depressed or something, or I don't feel nice," or... And I can't put my finger on it. It's just a weird feeling. Later on, that was easy just for me to say, it's just something depressing. But every time for me to get out of there, it's almost I must get back to the Lord. I must somehow connect with God again. Somehow take the Bible and read it, or worship, or do something to connect with the Lord. And it got very practical. And as we go on into this year, I trust that each one of us, that we will really start doing that more. We will get to know the Lord better, and we will become like Jesus. So, there's a story about this lady that was in America. So, somewhere in the northern parts of Africa, she went there, and later on they call her Busy. They say her name must be Busy. But she said she just listened to all the conversations, to what everyone was saying, and everywhere she just picked up, they're saying, "I'm busy." So she thought it's something in their culture, it's something that they do when they talk to someone, you say, "I'm busy," and you say, "You're busy," and that's what we do. So later on, the people start calling her Busy, because she was just saying, "I'm busy." She couldn't say any other word. So that was just for me a sign of the times that we live in. It is, Lee will tell me, she likes to say, unplanned time flow to your weaknesses. So that's true for me. I'm not for everyone. If I didn't plan something, then later on you will just sit there, do stuff. It's good if you decided you're going to rest or take a break, but it's not so good if you must be doing other things. And I don't want this year that we're just going to go on and just doing stuff and never connect with the Lord, never connect with Jesus. And there's a lot of opportunity in front of us. I believe that the demands are going to come very quickly, and we will have to manage all those demands. We will have to manage work and family and all the things that's going to happen in some or other way. It's almost as thing as if you take more time at work, then you steal time from family. If you take more time with family, you take time somewhere else. So there's only a set amount of time for each one of us. But there's a better way of managing our time. But I don't want to share about time management. I think most of you do that in your companies, with the urgent things and the important things, and they draw all the blocks and tell you you must focus there and you must be in this quarter and that there. And I don't want to do that. I just want us to in between all the lists and everything, I was quickly going to mention a few of the dangers when we become so busy. And just going to share a little bit about the other side. This busy is not always bad. Jesus was also very busy. And then just going to conclude it. Last year I mentioned my to-do lists are getting longer and longer. So I like the 80-20 principle. 80% visibility, 20% effort. So you can think about that. That's just for the guys. It will help you. But all of us, we're busy. We're busy at work. We're busy at home. We're busy all over. There's so many things happening. And Tim Chester is a guy who wrote The Busy Christian's Guide to Busyness. And he wrote down a few questions. They said, do you regularly work 30 minutes a day longer than your contracted hours? Or do you check work emails and phone messages at home? Has anyone ever said to you, I don't want to trouble you because I know how busy you are? Do your family or friends complain about not getting time with you? If tomorrow evening were unexpectedly freed up, would you use it to do work or just something at home? These are just all the things that it's maybe not true for all of us, but what some of it might resonate. Do you often feel tired during the day, or do you find your neck and shoulders aching? There's some people, yeah, that happens. Do you often exceed the speed limit while driving? Do you make use of any flexible working arrangements? Do you pray with your children or your family members regularly? Do you have enough time to pray? Do you have a hobby? Do you eat together as a family or a household at least once a day? The one guy said when one person is eating, the others are at least in the house. So they are eating together. So that's just some of the things. In 1 Kings 20 verse 40, there's a story about a prophet. He wanted to show the king Ahab something, and he wanted to show him there's something that he did. So I'm not going to go into the whole story. And this, it basically came down to the guy said he had to watch over a man. There was a man coming and he had to watch over him, and he had to stay there. And then the verse said, as your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. It just talk about a distraction. The man was there, he had to look over this man and he had to keep him there. And then he just got distracted. He was here, he was there, he was everywhere. And later on, this guy was gone. And the same thing happened to the king, and he just exposed something in his heart. But I just realized that often we are also like that. There's sometimes where our attention is actually needed, where we need to focus. And then we're also here and there and everywhere and just getting distracted. And I actually thought of that we can have cell phone free zones. Sometimes that will help quite a bit. To have a zone. Obviously we use our phone for a lot of things. It's like a computer. But it's also taking our attention all the time. Waking up, what's the first thing that we do? Maybe check, is there a WhatsApp that came during the night? or before I go to bed, just make sure I've answered everything, all the mails have been answered, everything, okay, put it there, and then bzz, 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 and oops, must check again. There's all this interaction with your device, and it's keeping you busy and distracted, and often in all of this, we're not living anymore. We're just trying to survive between everything that's coming our way. We're just trying to make sense and to make things happen. During the holiday, I showed, there's just a few pictures there. We were in the bush, in a house. There's the little house. So there was no electricity. There's a nice view. And just sitting there, and a nice dam with a splash pool. There, yes, the kids want, they always want their goggles on. So what I realized there is, sometimes when there's less distractions, it's just easier to calm down, to stop what's going on, but also to hear from the Lord. And there it was forced. There it was, there's nothing else to do. It was a time to rest, a time to just spend time as a family, and you're always present. And I know that I've mentioned this in a sermon last year as well, but I just realized that this year, as we get going, I just want us to be present, especially when the Lord preaches, especially when we feel God's presence, when the Lord is doing something, that we will be present, that we will respond when there's something that God is doing in our hearts, that we will use that opportunity and respond to that. But not only that, just to be present with the people around us and to put the cell phones and the distractions a bit to the side. And what happens is the world that we live in, we will know it became very complex. And there's a lot of opportunities. In many years ago, there weren't even lights, so everyone went to bed early, or it was easy to go to bed early. We'd rather put it that way. We know about the candles that were burning into the night. But it wasn't so complex. So now there's more opportunity. You can almost, everything you want to know, you just get it on the internet. Everything you want to do, you can just do it, or you Google it, or you find out how to do it. And you almost think that we must be able to know everything, to be able to do everything. And we are this complete being that must be on top of everything. And that is just a lie that the world is selling us, that we must know everything about everything, we must be on top of everything, we must be connected. And if we feed into that thing, we're just going to go on and on and on and feeding this busyness, feeding this, the system. And also with that, it gets more complex. I just know, just from the rewards program, from Vitality and Momentum and Discovery and Insurance, and everything gets more complex. I think you will know the same. So they get people that just look after those things. You can tell them, sort it out. Because everything is getting complex. Everything is taking more time. The fine print is getting longer and longer. And when there's a hassle, then you must go through all the 6 pages to find out where can I sort it out. And that's the world that we live in. And 3 dangers, quickly, that this busyness is going to do, it's going to ruin our joy. It's going to take away our joy. Where we're just surviving, where we're just trying to keep our head above the water. And it was so precious this morning. I didn't go through all the songs, but just what we sang about and the joy that comes from the Lord and all of that. Now I realize if we're just going to be busy, if we're just going to go in the system, slowly it will start stealing our joy. We know the Philippians 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. I can say that I'm not always rejoicing. And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are all amazing things, but we all know when the pressure comes and there's a baby crying and another one running around, and you just need one more thing and then you blow something. You can be very patient. But that is just part of life. But not all of that is bad. I'm just showing just the dangers, just what this busyness will do for us. There's obviously times where things go wrong, and there's a book that I read about Crazy Busy. And the guy said the margins that we operate on is very small. And I do the same. You see what is everything that you can do, and what's your limits. So if everything goes right, if there's no flat wheel, no children crying when you drop them at school, everything is running perfectly well, then you almost manage to get to everything. But once something goes wrong, then the whole system is just going a bit chaos. And then there's a lot of pressure. And he said it's because of the margins where we operate at. We operate at a level that is very close to our limit. Because we just believe that we can do so much and we must do so many things. And the wrong kind of busyness is like a sin. It will kill us. It will take us out. And our joy will be long gone. The second thing is what will happen, it will rob our hearts. We know that we must guard our heart, because out of it flows issues of life. And we get distracted, we get busy, and later on it's difficult to make decisions, it's difficult to know what to do, because there's just too many things. Too many things that we must give attention to, too many demands, and our hearts, it's just robbing our hearts. Just robbing us from knowing what to do, where to do. And this, the last one, is what the book mentioned, it covers up the rot in our souls. And basically, we get so busy that there are actually things that are not in place. Things are not in order. It's easy when there's a rattle in your car, you can either put the music louder that you don't hear it anymore, or you just sort it out. And sometimes we do that, we just put the music is so loud that we don't hear. We're not aware of what is going on in our lives. There's no time that we just stop and reflect and say, wow, I need someone to pray with me, basic things. Or someone just help me here, I'm struggling to cope. And this is what the busyness is doing. It just covers up those rattles. It just covers up those things. And I don't want us to run away in 2016 and just put the music loud and we're just going. And in the meantime, everything is rattling and there's just a big crash. And it's not going to be so nice. We can pick it up again, but we can prevent it. And that is basically for each one of us. It means that we must just reflect. We must just take time to say, maybe I'm too busy, but not even that. Maybe there's just things that I must talk about. Things that I must say, okay, let me sort out this one thing. What I experience in my life is just that thing where God will come and He will highlight something. It's not everything at the same time, because then it's going to be very overwhelming. But He will highlight one thing for me, and then I say, okay, Lord, I will try to sort that out. I'll try to work at that thing. And then I'll ask someone to help me or to pray with me, until I feel that I've got that, I'm better at it. There's more joy or there's more patience. But I just want us to, and that is where our small groups, we've mentioned it, but it really helps. It really helps to come together and to talk with one another and to be accountable. On my own, when I isolate myself, that is not good. And it's easy to isolate. It's easy to just to go on and to do your own thing, and nobody will know. But some other day, then that rattle is maybe just too loud, and the screws are coming loose, and there's a real problem. On the other side of on the busyness, I just want to say it's not bad to be busy. There's a few dangers of busyness, but Jesus was also busy. He also had a lot of demands. I was just reading through Matthew, how the crowds just follow him, how people just want to touch him. If he were an email, he would probably got a lot of emails and stuff and WhatsApp messages all the time. So Jesus was busy. But if we go through Matthew and we read, we can see how he took time out to rest, how he was getting away. How the disciples will come and say, Jesus, you must go into this town. And he said, no, and they depart from there. And they move on to a different place. Just doing the right things. When Lazarus died, they said, must come immediately. And he said, I'm on my way. And he came a little bit later. But he was doing the right things. So I'm just mentioning that I don't want us to say that now I must not be busy at all. So I'm just going to sit at home and do nothing. That is not good. We will be busy, but there's priorities. There's a way of doing it right. And even Paul was a very busy man. Then he's in prison, and then he's there, then he's traveled, then he's writing to the churches. He's busy. There's a lot of things happening. And the one thing that I just realized of, I'm just going to throw it in here, is just I mentioned of the phone, but in this book that I read about Crazy Busy, they just said that the screen time, that is just one of the things that they highlighted as a main thing that is a danger to our lives. We're not even sure yet about the implications of having a phone with us. Usually the research come out a bit later and then they look back over the last 30 or 40 years. But cell phones, I think it's my 20 years now that we have it. And obviously it quickly becomes an addiction. It's quickly that we want to know everything about everything. There's a Nicholas Carr, he wrote a book, The Shallows, and he reflects on how his attitude towards the internet has changed. He said in the beginning, it was awesome, he found everything, it's just amazing, you can just Google, everything is there. And then he realized how it was difficult to pay attention to things, and then he realized his brain was becoming hungry to be connected. Hungry for something else, another bit of information, just something more. And he realized that in the end, it was such a demand to be fed, such a demand that he must just have something more, just more information. And that's where he realized that he's actually addicted to his computer and to information and to a screen. And he just wanted to be connected all the time. That's what he wanted to do. Second Peter 2:19 says, as a Christians, we know that whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And it's quickly that we might not recognize it. But certain things we must just feel that you must do it all the time. So it's so quickly that we will become enslaved to that thing. Enslaved to something specific. And with the cell phone and everything that came, there's a listlessness. There's a word, acedia. Maybe the English guys will know more. But it talks about the listlessness. It talks about you've got some extra time, so you just sit in front of the computer and you just browse. Or you sit in front of the TV, not knowing what to do, so you just browse through channels. And the guy said, it just becomes more and more the state of a serious state of listlessness, where we, every now and then, we just sit and time just goes by. Or we just sit and you just check, who can I WhatsApp now? Or what's happening on Facebook? And before you know it, half an hour, time has passed, it's gone. And he mentioned that there's something in his book that he saw, this is a danger of our time. This listlessness, it just becomes more and more where we just keep busy browsing, downloading, doing stuff, and actually doing nothing. don't know if it's happening to you. I can recall times like that. And we almost get to a place where we never want to be alone. We always want to be connected to someone, or at least know what someone, at least know what one other person is doing now. Where it becomes difficult just to be alone. Just ourselves, no music. Neil Postman, he wrote this, I put this on the slide. He said, we must understand that every technology, from an IQ test to an automobile, to a television set, to a computer, is a product of a particular economic and political context and carries with it a program, an agenda, a philosophy that may or may not be life-enhancing and that therefore requires scrutiny, criticism, and control. And he actually says that to be less busy is a community project. He said, don't expect when someone WhatsApp you that they must WhatsApp you back immediately, or that you send a mail that someone must reply to your mail immediately. He said, in that sense, he said, it's a community project. We help one another to do less, to get almost a bit disconnected. I'm not saying it will work always, but that was interesting for me, that some of the things that this guy mentioned. He said we must help one another and be accountable to one another. And he actually mentioned just using an old phone that can't do everything. You can just phone and that's it. And the battery can last forever. It's not a landline. We must plug in all the time. What I mentioned is the other side of busy. There is a good busy. There's a busy that we will always, when we start discipling people, when we start reaching out to people, when we start doing outreaches, when we start serving the communities, we will be busy. There is a good kind of busy as well. So we must not believe that there's a place where we will never suffer or never have any difficulty or where everything will go amazing. There's sometimes in life where doing the right thing will cause us to suffer. Doing the right thing will cause us to have a difficult time. And there's many examples in the Bible as well. Because I've often seen that we want to get to a perfect place where everything is sorted out. Everything is just amazing. Everything is in control, and I'm managing it now. And then we think that if anything goes out of place, it must be wrong, and we must be sorting it out right now. But sometimes doing the right things are also going to be difficult. It's also going to be a bit of suffering, and we will not have, we will have discomfort, and we have all of that. That is just the other side. When it comes to, we don't have time for everything, but I'll send a few things that we can discuss in a small group as well. The importance of rest, the importance of taking time out. Same that Jesus did every now and then. Just the importance of just going somewhere and just pray or just rest. The one guy wrote about, he said, like a Sunday morning for him is just, it's set. You're going to church, it's easy, it's uncluttered, but it's also for him a time to recharge, to connect with the Lord, and it's time that he's set apart. And it worked well for him, and it's a necessity in his life. So by doing certain things like that, we can actually organize our life to get into a kind of a rhythm where you know when you're going to rest, where you know when we're going to work. When we're going to do what? When we have time, set a time for certain things. So there's a rhythm that came. There's a rhythm of where we work hard, we rest, where things fall into place, where things start making sense a bit more, instead of just surviving every day. Well, that's a lot that you can say about that. I just quickly want to mention, lastly, in Luke 10, we know the story of Martha and Mary. Now, I'm just going to read from verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And this is not saying that we must just leave all the other stuff and just sit there. It's more talking about the importance of being with Jesus. The importance of making time to connect with the Lord. The importance of all the busyness, that there's a place where we come to the Lord and sit at His feet and hear from Him. There was a guy that he basically looked at life and he said, how can we organize everything? Where can we start to change what we do? He said, multitasking, some say it works well for the woman, some say the man is not so good with it. He said, we can't really multitask. Computers can't even multitask. They're just switching very quickly between different processes. So basically what he said then is, just get one thing, start with one thing. Get one thing in place, and from there, the other things will fall into place. For example, when I want to run a race, I will decide this is how much I want to train, and I'll say these are the days that I want to train, and then I will set that one thing in place, and obviously automatically other things will have to move to make space for the one thing. And my prayer is that we'll take one thing to connect with the Lord, and we will look at what can I do, how can I get this in place. But not to go out like when you want to run a marathon, some people say they're going to start running, and then they go out and run 20Ks, and then they finish the next day, and then they run 2 months later again. I said, just start with one thing to connect with the Lord, maybe a 5 minutes or something that you can do, that you can commit to sit at the Lord's feet. And from there, decide when you're going to do it, how is it going to look, and then the other things can fall into place. And that's a place where each of us can start. It's something manageable. Like Lee and I, we've again just started with a reading plan, something that we want to do for this year. I can send it to you if you want to. But just reading the Bible, reading through the Bible this year. So already I've committed to that, so I have to change other things. There were other things that I wanted to do some evenings, and I realized that I want to read the Bible, I want to get through this reading plan, this is the commitment that I want to do, so I need to set time apart for it. And that's something that I want to keep on doing. So something else will have to move. We're all busy, we all have got many distractions, many plans, then we throw in about the New Year's resolutions. There's so many things we want to do. But for this year, I really want us to, as we start, that we will get that one thing. Like Mary, just sit at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, I want that good portion. I want to hear from you. I want to connect with you. And often then the Lord will come and He will speak into our lives in exactly that thing that we try to sort out by ourselves, that we try to manage by ourselves, that we were trying to figure out and trying to Google how to do it, how to manage everything. And the Lord will just come and He will speak into that situation and say, this is the answer. This is what you must do. And I know I get distracted, and there's always a lot of stuff in my head and a lot of plans and a lot of ideas. And for this year, I just said, Lord, just help me that through this reading plan or through time that I set aside for the Lord. And I don't come with the agenda. I have other times with agendas, other times where I pray for specific things or come and seek the Lord for specific things. That is just a time where we sit at the Lord's feet. It's because He's God. And we need to do it. And it's not just that it's not just good enough to just say, yes, I want to do it. We must actually understand the importance of it. We must actually understand the Almighty God speaking to us. So as you think about this and reflect upon it, I just want just to think that the Almighty God is something that must, I say, it must drop in our spirit. It must click. The light must go on or out, whatever you want to say. But that's what must happen. So, Lord, I need this. I need to sit at your feet. I need to connect with you. It's not wrong to be tired. It's not wrong to feel overwhelmed. It's not wrong to go through seasons of complete chaos. Things happen. But what is wrong and heartbreakingly foolish and wonderfully avoidable is to live a life of more craziness than what we want because we have less Jesus than what we need. Where things get so crazy and so hectic because we haven't made time for Jesus. We haven't connected with the Lord. We haven't heard from God. If you need to write down everything that you did the last month and put it on a paper, and maybe the alien come from space and you give him this paper and he said, what is necessary for you to survive on earth? What will he see? Will he see you must Facebook every day? I see it. That's what you wrote down. Or will he see, wow, you connect with the Lord? Or that is something that made me think. Someone just look at my life and what I'm doing and everything, how I fill my schedules and everything. What would they say? What is necessary to do? And as we go, I'm very excited about this year. I'm looking forward to, I'm just excited about what God is wanting to do in our church. And there's so many things and making time for some Bible study and getting to know the Word better, getting to know God better. But just before we start, I just want us, this busyness, go home and reflect and say, Lord, what is something that I can commit for? Is it 5 minutes? Is it 2 minutes? But that place where we connect with the Lord in the midst of everything.